John, this is just confirms what we talked about earlier.
Right.
You want depth in that defensive backfield.
Yeah, and it very much keeps in line with what's going on here today. Drafting guys who can come in, they can compete. You would stand to reason these guys could play special teams. Drafted two cornerbacks. It makes perfect sense because if there were positions that really needed to be addressed depth-wise, it was certainly in the secondary, and that's what they did in the seventh round, almost back-to-back.
For Harris at New Mexico State, a 4.48 40 at the pro day at New Mexico State. Just not a lot of true info on him yet. His height and weight, though, at 6'2", 181.
And a connection there, JP.
Yeah.
As you know, played collegiately for Dwayne Walker, the new secondary coach with the Jaguars. Walker was the head coach at New Mexico State before he got here. So, obviously, a connection there.
Demetrius McCray out of Appalachian State, 6'1", 187-pounder. And last year, his senior season at Appalachian, or his final season at Appalachian, 55 tackles, 4 pass breakups, and 4 interceptions. So they're going to have to compete to make this team, mm-hmm. but they're drafted by the Jags.
Yeah, and what you wanted was a competitive situation. And in order to get that in the defensive backfield, they had to add guys. I'm sure they will add more in a collegiate free agency. They needed bodies back there. They entered this draft with Antoine Molden on one corner, and I'm going crazy trying to remember the other
Ball.
One. Alan Ball on the other, and you had Mike Harris. But you needed some more numbers, and you also needed some numbers at safety. And that's what the last part of this day was about. I would think you'll see most of these guys who have been drafted in the last couple hours compete very hard in special teams, which is an area that you need to be young, and that's what they'll be.
Sure. We're awaiting the final press conferences from General Manager David Caldwell and Head Coach Gus Bradley. They'll be in the room next to us very shortly and then get back into the war room and get ready for that college free agency period that starts right after the draft.
Which is huge. And every year, fans of every team hear their GMs talk about how important collegiate free agency is. As I think we've talked about already this week, it's really important for these guys. Dave Caldwell has gone out of his way to say there will be opportunity on this team for collegiate free agents. There will be roster spots for collegiate free agents. And I think deep down they expect maybe a couple of those guys to start. And so the next 2-3 hours are going to be very important because there has been a lot of recruiting going on with these guys.
Sure.
Scouts talk to these guys on the road. And if they're not projected to be drafted, they say, we will be a good spot for you. So I expect some major storylines to come out of the next couple hours.
And that's a good selling point. With not as many spots on this team filled already,
mm-hmm.
boy, there's a chance for some of these players to really make this team. It's a good selling point. We go next door right now for the first press conference. Should be the final press conferences of this draft. David Caldwell and Gus Bradley.
Last time, no questions for Vito.
Fair enough.
How does this affect Tim Tebow?
How come you did not draft him? All right, well, as you guys know, the board, it was brutal. It didn't go the way we wanted to go. Vito, everybody came off the board, and we just had to reach for all of our players. No, just joking. Hey, we're really excited. We got eight really good players that we feel like can come in and help us and contribute and compete for spots here on this team. What was it? Was 5 defensive players, 3 offensive players. The number one thing that we need to do here was fill some needs with good quality players and guys that had some type of urgency, some what we like to call juice to them. And all these guys are fast, aggressive, physical. And, you know, they have some type of urgency to them. So we really, you know, the one thing that was evident to us, you know, watching a lot of the film when we first came in was the lack of speed. And that's the one thing that we really wanted to upgrade, and we feel like we've done that here today through the weekend.
5 guys from the secondary.
Yep.
Was that identified a week ago, you know, as the number one need?
Yeah, it was identified early mm-hmm. on in the process. And especially with our, you know, we're a system-specific team, and Coach Bradley's defense is very system-specific. And, you know, so that is the one thing we had to kind of change and fix to a degree. And, you know, we just had some vacant roster spots in the secondary when we came in, and a couple of them were a little bit more. We created our own urgency there quickly into our tenure here. So we knew that we had to draft, but we also knew that it was a good year in the secondary for this year's draft, and that's kind of was our mindset.
Was the value simply not there for a pass rusher? I mean, as you were going along.
Yeah, we felt like, you know, for a premier pass rusher or a premier offensive tackle, you really have to take those guys really high. And we knew coming out of this draft, we were going to fill one of the two needs. And the rest of it was going to be other needs that we were going to fill. So we still have college free agency here. There are actually a couple of guys that have some pass rush skills that we feel like we can develop. And, you know, they may fall through and we may get them as free agents. So we look forward to that, too.
Robinson, had he sort of been keeping that one close?
Yeah, I've been watching that guy for as long as he's been playing. And every time I go into Michigan, it just amazes me as how passionate he is about football, how loved he is at that school amongst his teammates, and how he just goes about his business. And you watch that guy practice, he has fun. And, you know, not only does he have juice on the field in terms of his speed and his playmaking ability, but just juice in the building. And you're going to love the kid. And I've watched him from afar from a long time. I got a call from Thomas. He's like, I knew you'd end up getting him at some point in time because we've talked a lot about him in Atlanta. And I was really excited about that pick.
Running back?
We're going to play him at running back. We're going to play him a little bit at slot. So you're going to see him in a lot of different formations. He's, you know, to just say he's a running back, just say he's a slot. We're going to use him as a kick returner. So we're going to try and get the ball into his hands, and that's going to be one of the goals. And I've been fortunate enough in my time in Atlanta, my time in Indianapolis, to see what playmakers can do for a team. And that's what, you know, we needed some speed and some explosiveness here.
He's had a lot of injuries. Does that concern you?
No, nothing major. And nothing major. And he's played in the Big Ten or Big 12 now, and carried the ball a ton of times, and it's been really, been pretty durable for as much as he played.
Dave, did not a lot of people look at him as a running back?
You know, I've heard all different things. I've heard teams look at him as a running back, as a wide receiver, even as a cornerback. And we even kicked it around a little bit before the draft and just kind of joking, knowing that our needs with cornerback, well, we draft him, maybe he can play both ways. So, but no, we're going to stick to him on offense. And but he is a tremendous athlete. So,
so you feel like you're faster today than you were two?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Any concerns with Robinson's ability to hold on to the ball at the combine? It seemed like he.
No, you know, and something, he's not a finished product by any means. He's played quarterback his whole life, so he's going to be a work in progress. I don't expect him to go out there in year one and just have everything down. And he's going to have his drops. He may have his fumbles and that stuff, but it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress. And we feel like, you know, if we can develop him and turn him into, he can turn into something maybe pretty special.
Well, Jaguars.
Wildcat.
You know, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. You know, we want to get the ball into his hands, so.
What about three defensive backs that you took today?
Yeah.
Elaborate a little bit on
that. Yeah, well, Josh Evans is a guy that we actually, we felt like if we did not get Jonathan Cyprian in the second round like we did, he was a guy that we consider as another good fit for us at safety. Not only can he play the strong safety, but we feel like he's got versatility to be both a free and a strong in our system. He's just a tremendous competitor. He's played in the SEC. I think he led the University of Florida's team in tackles. And, you know, they speak really highly of him at the university. Coach Muschamp speaks very highly of him, and you know, we're excited to get him. His urgency and his toughness and his competitiveness is really off the charts. And to get a good local Florida Gator on our team, we felt good about that too. So,
one thing the Jaguars have never had in their history is a dynamic punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reggie Barlow was okay,
sure.
But do you think that Sanders can be that guy?
We think he's a really good punt returner. The best thing he does is field the ball, which is the number one priority. And then outside of that, he's really quick. He heads north and south extremely quick, which is a mark of a really good punt returner. And he's very elusive, and he's got exceptional quickness. So with all those skill set, he should, you know, the sky's the limit for him in terms of the punt return skills. And same as with him as a receiver too.
So that combine time was not a.
I wasn't too concerned about it. You know, I've seen good punt returners with lesser speed, time speed, so to speak. And it's a matter of how they get upfield and create their opportunities. And, you know, he's played in the SEC, and we've watched him against LSU, against Florida, against Georgia. And they're some of the fastest athletes in the country, and he's running away from them on the video. So we felt pretty good about it. I think Josh Evans, was it Ryan that said that, you know, don't pay any attention to that time speed?
Yes.
So.
What did Dwayne Walker like about Harris?
you know, for him, we feel like his best football is ahead of him. He's big, he's long, he's a great system fit for us. He's a competitive kid. And the fact that he's really only played 1 year of solid college football, and that he just feels like that he's just really learning like a lot of the technique, and that we could really develop him into something really special.
Well, why didn't he play more?
He was a junior college transfer.
Oh, he's a JC transfer.
Dave, quarterback. Obviously, it's something that might be addressed now in the undrafted, since they bring in another guy.
Yeah. One, at least one, maybe two.
Is that going to be for quarterbacks? Not going to sign any veterans then?
Not that's not our intent right now, no.
What's that?
Not right now, no.
Not right now. Yeah. It's likely he won't before camp, or is it?
It depends. If somebody comes available that we have interest, you know, that's a possibility, but that's not our intent right now.
Describe the other guys you took today.
Ace, Denard Robinson, Josh Evans, Jeremy Harris. Jeremy Harris, we talked about, New Mexico State. Excellent length, excellent speed, a little bit raw, but it's still developing, and we feel like his best football is ahead of him. And then Demetrius McCray, really interesting guy. He's over 6 foot, 190 pounds, sub 4.5. He's in a 4.4 range. He's another guy that's long, that can run, compress, has really good ball skills.
Anything else, guys?
Yeah, on McCray being a 1AA guy, was he a dominant player at that level?
He was a really good player, and his skill set for us, you know, 40-inch vertical, and I want to say 11-foot broad jump, too. I don't know the exact number, so don't quote me on it, but it was pretty astounding. And when we were going through it on the video, and you see some traits in him where we felt, hey, this guy's really, you know, can develop into something that we don't have.
Mm-hmm. These last three guys are obviously about getting some speed on special teams.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, Gus and I talked about it, that we wanted 8 to 10 good core special teamers. We felt like we had about 4 right now. Mm-hmm. So this whole draft, you know, not only are these guys going to hopefully play for us on offense and defense, but definitely contribute on special teams for us too.
When you were saying the speed, it jumped off that there was a lack of speed. You're talking offense, defense?
Across the board, yeah. And maybe our bar is probably set a little bit high because, you know, coming from Atlanta, my time in Indianapolis, that's what we put a premium on. And Gus's time in Seattle, they put a premium on that. So not every team is like that, but this is what we're trying to build here and trying to get to.
Dave, did the board go like you thought it would coming into this?
Of course it did, Vito. It did for the most part, yeah. We felt good about it. Outside of maybe the Gratz pick, that was the only pick where it really came down to, like, okay, he's our last guy at the position that we wanted to target. And other than that, we had two or three names at each pick that we felt good about.
Of the guys you picked today, Dave, who was the last one that really came onto your radar?
Probably McCray. Mm-hmm. Probably McCray.
When was that?
At the combine. Right. Yeah.
Did you consider Robson in the fourth round? He's such a big name. I thought that, you know, it seemed like,
yeah, you know,
surprised didn't go a little earlier.
For that, I always had a mindset that he'd be a third rounder. Even in my time in Atlanta, I felt like that would probably be a good value for him.
Uh-huh.
And so I never thought he would be there in the fifth round, to be honest.
But you still didn't consider him the fourth round. You had the other need more.
Yeah, we had greater needs at that point in time.
So you're generally surprised then that he was there.
Yeah.
Because that's the standard.
I was excited about it for sure.
Yeah. Have you covered everybody? Have we missed somebody?
Yeah, he covered Sanders earlier and then Robinson, Evans, Harrison, McCray. Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
We'll get Gus up here and Dave and go back. And awesome. Hope to have the college free agency maybe later tonight. Get Gus up here.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan. Coach, if you want to go down there.
Start with the 2 deep. Start with those guys, then do the 2 deep.
Yeah. We'll I mean, Dave really hit a lot of the points that I was going to hit on. I think in my mindset, it was the talent and competition. You know, as I look at our team, I was excited about things that I saw in the mini camp. I did see a bunch of our guys compete, and I think that as a group of core guys that we have on our team, they're going to get better. They bought into it completely. They're competing out there, and I'm excited about the core group of guys. So I looked at it as this draft to add more competition, to add talent and speed to the group of guys that we have. And, you know, our hopes is that our core guys that are here right now, they elevate their play, and these guys coming in elevate their play along with them. And, You know, I think the last two picks that we were talking about with Dave, I looked at the board and we were talking about different scenarios. And I know one of the points I brought up was, you know, let's take the two corners. Let's take them. Let's build that pool up. Let's get some guys in there that have some speed, some length, some traits that we're looking for. And I never feel like you can have enough of those guys just to take a look at and build. Will those guys come in? Are you projecting to be starters? Just add to the whole group and add competition. And, you know, I'm sure there may be a couple guys that we got to look at developing, but that's the fun part of it, you know, where you can develop a guy that comes that late in the rounds and see him progress and end up eventually being a starter for you is great for a team. So I'm really excited. The other thing I'd like to say about these guys is I don't know if this is a good word or bad word, but these guys all have juice. And that's a big trait for me as the head coach. I want to be able to feel this team out there. I want to feel their personalities. I want to feel what they can bring to this organization. And, you know, and Dave and I agree with that. And I think when you get a chance to talk to some of these guys, like, you know, Jonathan Ciprian, Ace, Denard, you know, these guys, they've got some personality, some juice to add along with what we already have. And, you know, that competitiveness, that drive to be the best that they can be, you know, we're really trying to incorporate that into the room that we already have.
What is juice? I find juice.
Spirit, you know, a love for the game, excited about opportunity to play the game, excited to learn about the game, excited to watch film. Am I going too fast?
No, that's fine.
You know, it's just all those traits, right? Mm-hmm. I know for me, probably one thing that I'm learning in this short career in the NFL is balance. I think it's hard. My family's extremely important to me, and I'm trying to juggle that to say, you know, sometimes you got to spend time with the family. But I know that's what we're looking for in the players, where they have their priorities, but football is right up there with them. And, you know, it's important to them. And, you know, the height, weight, speed, all things we're looking for. And then to have that, they're just so competitive and they love the game. And I think that just raises everybody's level.
Josh Evans spoke very highly of Dan Quinn. How much will that help the transition into what you want to do?
You know what? I purposely did not talk to Dan Quinn too much. I guess I didn't want to give him any hints. I did talk to Will, though. I talked to Will. I called Will and spent some time with Will about Josh. And he was great. You know, just the conversations Will and I had about him, what we're looking for, what we're trying to do. I knew, you know, what we saw on tape and the type of player, but to hear it from Will and just to give him an idea kind of what we're trying to build here and what we're looking for, he conveyed, you know, his message.
What did he do?
For us?
Yeah.
You know, when I looked at the safety spot, I know when we initially first talked, we didn't have any strong safeties. Really, you know, guys that came down the box and to utilize our strength. So, you know, at first, you know, that's what Jonathan Ciprian, and I think, you know, as well with Josh Evans, I think there's going to be a battle there. But I don't want to just pigeonhole those two into our strong safeties. You know, the two best safeties will play. And, you know, to add with the guys that we have, I think we have a group that we can start to, you know, take a really strong look at. But I've told our team, you know, it's no surprise. They know that this competition is going to, it's not over now. You know, we're going to get free agents, and then we'll keep adding to this team. Anyway, that's our commitment or my commitment as a coach is to keep raising the bar on the level of play that that we expect. And I'm committed to our players to do that.
Gus, it sounds like you had extensive conversations with at least the first three, maybe a couple more of this group before the draft. How important was that in the process that you knew some of these guys?
Very important, just because what I was talking about, that feeling. Now, some of these guys, my conversation's been shorter, you know, where I just talked to them real quick. And but I knew enough about them. You know, the good thing about having this time in between the drafts, or the rounds, is that you can make phone calls, you can talk to people, you can visit with the guys. And I've had a chance to visit with all of them, but just to get even a better feel for them, especially like the late picks.
Could you just give us a sentence or two on each guy? Just run down the list.
Can I give the what's that?
A sentence or two on each guy.
You know. Day
two. Okay. Oh, date from just the guys that we went through today?
Yeah, just today's guys.
Start with Ace.
Okay. Let's start with Ace. Very explosive punt returner. When I'm talking about these guys too, I was thinking, you know, poor Mike Mallory, we got to help him out. And Ace gives us that punt returner that we're looking for. North-south type guy, makes people miss, can help in our field position battle. Denard, same thing. I love what he can do offensively, but I see him as having the ability to compete for our kick returner. So now we added someone for the kick return specialist part. So, but I like him. Jed and I have had extended conversations about how would we use him, what's going to be his role, how are we going to give him a chance to compete and compete to be active when it comes to game days. So, you know, special teams and then have the ability to play running back, slot, things like that would be good. Josh Evans, I talked to you about. I think he's a very good instinctive safety. I think he'll come down and hit you. He's physical, 207 pounds, more the style that we're looking for at the strong safety spot, and has a good feel for the game, instinctive in the box and in the pass game. Jeremy, I really like his length. He's 6'2", 185 pounds, runs a high 4.4. Those are the type of guys you really like to work with. He has a conscious of staying on top, principles that we teach our corners, and you see it on tape, and I think that, you know, he's a guy that we're really excited about developing and see where he can take his talents. And Demetrius, same thing. I like his speed. He's a 4.4 guy. Again, you saw some press coverage with him. He has some good length, over 33-inch arms, and when I talk about length, that's, you know, one of the biggest factors. And he also had the ability to stay on top of the receivers. And he's very intriguing in that part. So, you know, Jeremy and Demetrius just keep developing and see how fast they develop in the next, you know, couple months.
With Denard, one thing you talked about in the past is teams that can do a lot of things to stress a defense.
Right.
Is that where he comes into play, that you can show a lot of different
ways?
Yeah,
it does. You know, same thing with Ace. You know, I think both those guys add stress because you're taking away practice time from doing the base fundamentals that a team does. Mm-hmm. They have to prepare maybe for a wildcat. They got to prepare for an empty package. They got to prepare for tempo of the game. You know, all of those things take away practice time from just really locking into what you try to do. They have to be prepared for that. So I think, you know, that's a great unknown, you know, how we're going to use those guys. And we're not going to get out of whack. We're not going to do a million different things. It's still about us, what we need to do. And we'll keep it within a package that our guys can execute.
Josh Evans, just to clarify, do you see him more as a free or a strong?
Well, on tape, you see him as a free safety. But I do see him coming down. When I say a free safety, our free safety will come down in the box too, but it's just maybe more away from the tight end.
Okay.
Where the strong safety is going to come down more to the tight end side. So I saw Josh coming down away from the tight end, so he had the ability to play in the box, and on occasion come down to the tight end side. So, you know, we have a good enough feel to know that he can do it.
You have one veteran safety who, yes, I know he was competition, but you would think he had a big advantage, started one position. So it would seem most likely these two guys would compete for the other position.
Well, we're always going to keep it open to play the best two guys.
Mm-hmm.
But no doubt, Vito, going into this, I felt like we needed more depth at strong safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you were to talk right now, I would say it'd be nice to have both these guys at the strong safety spot.
Mm-hmm.
But if they both show up and there are guys, you know, I think you can flip them. But like I said, D-Lo, Chris, they both had pretty good mini camps. So, you know, we'll just let it see how it plays out. Bring in the numbers like that, and let's go ahead and compete. And you know, we give us an opportunity for someone to shine.
Have you guys already started calling undrafted possibilities?
They're already doing it. They've been in contact, I think, or have a plan already in place even before, you know, this week started.
Did you talk to a lot of guys before the draft about if you're not drafted, we're interested in, you know, do we try to sell some of these guys even before?
You know, I know some of the agents, scouts have handled all that. Dave had a plan, you know, say, hey, here's a group of guys that we're going to target. Some of them, by the time I get back, may have already been picked.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we know the numbers at each position, you know, that we want to bring in the camp. So if someone gets drafted, we just move down to the next guy.
Now, it looks like you've had a lot of speed, a lot of positive things, but the one thing we got to wonder about is opening day. It looks like the quarterback's going to be Van Garver, Chad Henning, and we've kind of seen that before, and it hasn't worked out too well. So how do you view that?
With the quarterback situation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like that just because those are the guys, it looks like one of them is going to start, Garver or Henning, on the first day. I mean, the other guys are like undrafted free agents, pretty unlikely to. So, but we've seen those two guys play, and, you know, it didn't work out too well.
Well,
so how do
you know, I don't know. I think that at times, you know, my personality is I am more optimistic.
Sure,
I get that. I don't want to be naive.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see the whole picture. But, you know, I think I mentioned to you before, we've done studies where we say, hey, a team that averages from 0 to 3 pressures a game, mm-hmm. the quarterback rating is in the 90s. And 0 to 3 pressures is just where the quarterback gets off the spot, not necessarily mm-hmm. sacked. Mm-hmm. If they get from 4 to 9 pressures a game, now their quarterback rating's in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And if it's 9-plus pressures a game, it drops into the 60s or 50s. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, at times, we had 9-plus. So it's not just Blaine or Chad. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is a quarterback, it may be like that. Because mm-hmm. that's the way the National Football League is. Mm-hmm. So now that we end up getting drafted, Luke, and that's why it was important for me and Dave in this whole process to say, all right, now let's knock the pressures down and see where we're at. Mm-hmm. And see where we're at. And I think we're very excited about that to say, okay. And, you know, I think that by drafting Luke like we did, it's going to allow competition within there, but it should be able to create depth. And will that draft pick not only buy time for the quarterback, but allow maybe Mercedes to get out more in his routes, will allow the receivers to do some different things? Those are all unknowns. But it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see what's going to take place. I don't know what's going to happen. I've told you before, my mindset is just let's go get our free agents now. That's what we do. And then tomorrow we'll come in and, well, I might take a break tomorrow, but Monday. But Monday, then that's all we do. And let's just see how this whole thing takes place. So I'm excited about it. I mean, I would imagine, Vito, you got to be. How do we know how this whole thing is going to play out?
Yeah.
But let's not, I don't want to get caught up in the results. I just want to really stick to the process and say every day we add to it, get better, and let's go do it.
Gus, how fired up is Jed to work with all these different now?
You haven't seen him running up and down the hall? No, he's excited. He's excited. But, I mean, so is our defensive guys. Go talk to Dwayne Walker, you know, and talk to Bob Babich and talk to those guys. Because we're just adding to the mix. We're adding guys. So, but our coaches really like our attitude of our team. I was told that when I first got here, Gus, you're going to really like the locker room. They were right. I can't remember who told me that, but whoever did, they were right. I do like the attitude. I do like the demeanor of this team. We just got to add more competition and create, you know, a new level, you know, where maybe this level was acceptable, is no longer acceptable. And I'm talking about we need you to perform at this level of your own personal ability.
All right, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Enjoy your family.
Yeah, thank you.
We're live on Jaguars.com. The thoughts of David Caldwell, general manager, and head coach Gus Bradley, JP Shadrick, with senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osier. Well, the day is finally done, at least to the draft part of the day, but your thoughts after listening to Dave and Gus?
Well, one thing I asked Dave, did you feel like you got faster over the last couple of days? Absolutely. And in retrospect, Dave Caldwell said they looked at this team and they decided they needed to get faster. They weren't slow, but compared to the teams that Dave Caldwell had been around and that Gus Bradley had been around, they felt like they needed to get faster on the field, and they feel like they did that this weekend.
And they wanted to get depth in that defensive backfield, mm-hmm. as we talked about all day today and every live hit we did.
Sure.
That was proven with, 5 of the 8 players on the defensive side of the ball and all in the secondary.
Mm-hmm. And something that Gus said late I think is significant that you started to hear around the building. Luke Jokel selection is about giving either Blaine Gabbert or Chad Henne the chance to succeed or fail. And they feel like that with that superior protection, it wasn't awful all last year, but there were times that it struggled. If you can get that quarterback more time, then let's see what happens. Let's see how everybody else can improve. You add one more significant piece to the puzzle on offense, and maybe with these skill positions, with Maurice Jones-Drew, with Mercedes Lewis, you can have an offense that can function and that can help everything. So that seems to be what they believe they did with that first pick in Luke Jokel.
I don't know if I'd be as soft on the offensive line. Third most sacks in the league last year. That's not very pretty at all.
But a lot of that came from one spot. Overall, there were times it did okay, but, yeah, clearly they looked at it and said, we have to improve this. If we're going to function at a high level, we have to get that sack number down. And I think all the offensive linemen knew that as well.
Sure. Let's go through them again. Jokel, number one, first round pick, the first pick for the Jaguars, second overall. Cyprian, the safety. Gratz, the corner. Sanders, the wide receiver, kick returner. Denard Robinson was a little bit of a surprise, at least in this room. He'll be a running back. That's on the roster, at least. You heard Dave say he'll line up in the slot a little bit, too. Evans, the safety. Harris and McCray, corners in the seventh round.
And I think what I took from Gus and Dave just talking now, I've been around teams where you had surprise picks, where you had draft selections. Every draft selection would basically tell you on the conference call, I had no idea I was getting picked by the Jaguars. Well, it was clear from talking to Gus and Dave, they had a good feel for these guys, not only as players, but as people. Gus talked to Luke Jokel. He talked to Jonathan Cyprian. He talked to
Gratz.
Wayne Gratz, long weekend. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. But he clearly had a good feel for every one of those guys, not only as players, but as people, and is very confident that those guys are going to fit what they're doing here. I think that's what Gus is most excited about. Yes, they got good players, but I think he believes they've got guys who are going to fit into what they're doing. Very important considering this draft is supposed to build the foundation of a lot of things on and off the field.
John, are you into giving grades to drafts, A, B, C? What do you
Well, know? I think they accomplished what they set out to do.
Good.
And there were probably three or four different scenarios. You never have one scenario in the draft because you don't have how the board's going to fall. But I think they had a scenario where they got a pass rusher early. Mm-hmm. I think they got a scenario where they had an offensive tackle early. This scenario played out where you weren't going to get the elite pass rusher because, as Dave said, they got the elite pass blocker. I mean, pass protector. Yeah. So the way it fell, I think they accomplished their goal, which was to get faster and to get guys they believed in. So it was easy in a sense because they had a lot of needs. So they didn't have to get very specific. But overall, I would say right now they feel very good about it. 2 or 3 years down the road, you just never know with the draft class. But if you're talking to these guys, I think they would tell you mission accomplished.
Well, that's good enough for us,
right,
I guess.
Exactly right.
Right, John, great stuff all weekend, and we'll look forward to your wrap here on Jaguars.com coming up.
Thanks, JP.
And the night's not over. College free agents are expected to be announced at some point tonight. We'll have that on Jaguars.com in a text form. Join us tomorrow for a full recap on Inside the Jaguars. We'll recap everything from the first round all the way to both seventh round picks and just go over everything one more time. That'll come up tomorrow right here on Jaguars.com. It's been a heck of a weekend for us. Thank you for watching us all weekend throughout the 2013 NFL Draft. The Jaguars have 8 draft picks in 2013, and that's it from Everbank Field.